It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coaching counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, this week we're going to kind of review, kind of talk about a tool that you use in your counseling, and that is the idea of the inbox and how to manage that. Not the normal inbox,
right.
But it's kind of like the mental inbox that kind of overwhelms us.
Yeah, I have a number of tools. When I was I started developing things before I was even out of graduate school, kind of coming up with some of my own processes and things from a biblical point of view, which is my worldview. And of course, in studying psychology, that was entirely a secular approach. But many of the things that we studied, I saw biblical foundations to. And so since I was going to be counseling and mostly believers, Christians, that was going to be my field. Those are the people that I wanted to help. And so, I began to develop some of my own tools for my own life experience, and one of those that I talk a lot about with people is what I refer to as the inbox. You're right; it's not the mail inbox or the.
You make the bold claim that life is an inbox.
Well, life is an inbox. So
what do you mean by that?
Well, an inbox. So maybe there are people that have been born in since 2000 that aren't. Can't really visualize the inbox. So, you've seen maybe in the movies or maybe even in real life, you've seen the teacher, the attorney, the executive, the secretary sitting at a work table, a desk. Now we're used to the desktop on our computers, but sitting at a desk and a worktop, and somewhere on that desk, imagine a secretary or an assistant, executive assistant has a pile or a basket or a shelf or
a
box or a tray full of all kinds of unfinished work.
To-do list.
And in fact, the difference between the inbox and the to-do list, that at least if you have a to-do list, there's a list.
Oh,
the thing about the inbox is you don't know what's in there. You can see what's on top, right? But you don't know what's in there. But no matter what's in there, it's an uncomfortable area on the desk. You don't want that. So the inbox generates, as I'm sitting there at my office, and I've got the inbox there, and all I see is that top piece of paper, but underneath it is about 3 or 4 inches of stuff, and it generates anxiety. Mm-hmm. You're right. Life is an inbox, and it's always the inbox of life is all of the always unfinished work of life. I have down I was thinking last night that even if you say unfinished work, it's rather redundant because it's work because it's unfinished. If it's finished, it's no longer work. If you say you're going to work, I'm heading for work now. You're heading for things that are unaccomplished and unfinished. But we refer to it as unfinished work, uncompleted work. So, life is an inbox. Every day stuff comes into the inbox. And like the inbox on the desk, you might see something laying on top, but there's a lot of stuff underneath that you don't know is there, and you don't know what it is, but yet it's generating anxiety.
So maybe something that's obvious in the inbox is I need to lose weight or I need to get together with this friend. But
right.
Some of the stuff that's not so obvious are things like self-esteem.
You could have obvious things. Now we see the cloudy skies and we're thinking, I should have got around to painting the house or caulking the windows before, or maybe you've got doctor's appointments or you've got bills to pay. Those kinds of things kind of lay on the surface of the inbox and they generate anxiety until you get around to doing them. And that's just part of managing our days and our weeks. And so when people come for counseling, they're not so much coming because of that obvious thing. you know, what's got you worried? I need to take the car in for a tune-up or something like that. Mm. It's the less obvious things that have to do with self-esteem, have to do with issues of shame, issues of confidence, issues of grief and loss. Yeah, those kinds of things are always in that pile. Some of those things have been in that pile for years and years and years, maybe decades.
Decades.
Oh, things happen when you're a child that are very hurtful. Maybe family of origin things. Maybe the parents were divorced when you were young, or maybe you got sucked in the nose, or you were the last one chosen for the soccer team always, or something like that. And so those things are way, way down in the inbox, and they generate anxiety. From time to time, we have experiences in life that trigger those things. You know, I can be, as most people, sometimes I can be sitting, lying down, trying to get to sleep at night, and some memory will come across my mind, and I'll think, where on earth did that come from? Mm. Well, something triggered it, and maybe it's an unpleasant memory. Mm. And so I think, well, I'm having that unpleasant memory right now, but it's always in the inbox. It's in the inbox until we find a way to resolve it. So regardless of whether it's the obvious stuff or the less obvious stuff, all that unfinished work, like the inbox on the secretary's desk, is generating your anxiety. If you have anxiety, there's stuff in the inbox that hasn't been dealt with. That's where the anxiety comes from.
Okay.
So what is the unfinished work in your life? You have anxiety. What's the unfinished work? Well, what's unfinished work in life? What's life's work? So that's a reasonable question. If I'm asking what jobs are unfinished, another way of approaching it would look at, well, what jobs needed to be finished? If there's something in the inbox having to do with the house, I could look around. I could try to discover, you know, what is causing the anxiety. Another way to approach it would be to look around the house and see what is obviously not done. So we're asking the question, what is the unfinished work in my life? Well, first of all, it might be wise to ask ourselves, well, what is the work of life? If there's something unaccomplished, what is it that we're supposed to be accomplishing? Maybe that would be that would point us in that direction. Talking about the physical body, obviously, the work of life is just to stay alive. Mm. That's what my brain does, my heart, my lungs, the organs, and things in your body. They keep your body alive. If we're talking about mental health, we're talking about safety and security. So if life's work.
Yeah, to me, this does all seem like it is about mental health. I mean, you seem like you're kind of bunching stuff to do around the house in with more emotional, mental work that needs to be done, like broken relationships. Mm-hmm. I think of that more as emotional work that needs to be done.
Yeah, and that's
but you're saying all of this stuff causes anxiety.
It all brings anxiety, okay. Yeah, because it has some things in common, but it all brings anxiety. If I didn't get around to mowing the lawn, and we've got this little battery-operated lawnmower, so it doesn't have a lot of oomph. You can't you can't goose
they
it if you hit
a
wet spot.
Those,
and so I've never used it in wet grass now, so I'm not looking forward to that. So that's something that's as we see the damp weather coming on, there's a bit of anxiety that's kind of there until I figure out that this can actually cut wet grass. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, there is the thing is that it all is generating some kind of anxiety, but you're right. People don't come to counseling because they can't figure out how to cut their lawn or tune their car.
I would think, yeah, your stuff really has to do more with the emotional work, I would think.
But when people come to counseling for anxiety, some of those obvious things are feeding the anxiety too.
So you're able to kind of uncover what and
So
what it is.
So that's the.
So have you run into some people who are just obsessed with their to-do list or their honey-do list, and that's what's causing most of their anxiety? And you're able to point that out to them.
Well, if they are managing it, they're probably not coming in for counseling. But people come in for counseling when they don't know what's in the inbox. Or they don't realize that there is an inbox. They feel like they have anxiety. They may think it's purely a medical thing. Mm. You know, they might argue that it's a neurological imbalance. Well, anxiety is always a neurological imbalance. It's you're getting more adrenaline, or you're getting more cortisol than you would normally get. But that's it's kind of the chicken and the egg.
Yeah, nature nurture.
Yeah, so we're ruling out things that we can do about it. And so, yeah, when people come in with anxiety, obviously there are things that they're either procrastinating on because they don't realize how important it is, or they're procrastinating on it because they don't actually realize it's there. So the common thread, or the common underlying element in all of this is safety, or a feeling of safety and security. The fact that the obvious and the non-obvious things both generate what feels the same feeling of anxiety, the same neurological phenomena too, the same adrenaline, the same cortisol, the same norepinephrine. Those things are all associated with anxiety, anger, worry, fret, concern. The common thing is safety, security, some degree of value, control, and power. So I need to break down these terms a bit here, because you might say, what is the mowing the lawn have to do with safety and security? Well, it has to do with anxiety if you're not getting around to it. Some of those things on the to-do list, or maybe you haven't made a to-do list. And so these things are generating anxiety. And so they have to do ultimately with safety, security, that is feeling emotionally calm, feeling emotionally prepared, confident, those kinds of things. And what I want to do, probably going to take a break now. When I come back from the break, I want to kind of equate safety and security with these things, value, control, and power, because that's really what ties both the obvious and the non-obvious things in the inbox together. It's that sense of having control, being valued, having power, resources.
Okay, some tips on how to manage that inbox this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. If you're intrigued by Daniel's approach to how to handle anxiety and depression in life, you want to find out maybe more about the inbox and some counseling, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number, excuse me, is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also can email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find like about 8 years of radio shows. I'm doing a lot of Zoom now because people have seen how convenient it is, but I also have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel looking at the inbox, how to manage that. This is a tool, an idea he uses in his counseling, and how he feels like this contributes quite a bit to anxiety in people's lives. Getting a handle on this, and you wanted to explore value, control, and power.
Now. Yeah, let me just do that quickly, and then we got ground to cover here. So when we're talking about value, control, and power, these things, these are basic to all people. Everyone, everyone is pursuing value, control, and power in life. As a matter of fact, I'm going to state a little later on maybe that life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. In fact, I see it coming up on my notes right here. Life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. Oh, what do we mean? Everyone always wants to feel valued by people that they value in the context of something of value. We want to have value. When you step into a room, into a group of people, step into the job, You want to feel that you contribute and that people rely on you, that or that they count on you for something. It could be, you know, something you produce. It could be a smile. We go to church and it seems like the thing that our ministry is just smiling and encouraging people. Maybe that's what we bring, but it gives us a sense of personal value. We're valued by people we value in the context of something of value. That's a fundamental need for our humanness. Control. Now, this is not about controlling other people. It's about having control of circumstances and situations that impact my life. And as you look around in our culture today, as believers, you see so many things that you don't control and you can't control. And just in the lives of everyone, the price of gasoline, the cost of groceries, like the interest rates going up, and there are just things going on in schools that we don't have control over those things. That brings anxiety, the lack of control. The third one is power, or you could say resources. Boy, it seems like you never have enough money to be comfortable. At least most of us don't.
Some people who have great wealth are some of the most messed up people there are.
Yeah, that's what I say. Everyone is struggling with this thing of value, control, and power. You never get enough of it, and that's why there's always anxiety. So that's the unfinished work of life. Life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. Now, when I'm talking to people in counseling, I dig down a little deeper in that, and so that becomes something they understand. It's part of the lens that they look through, and so they understand the inbox in those terms and their pursuit of value, control, and power. It's very fundamental. It's very important. Emotions follow from our beliefs. So if safety and security or value, control, and power, those are the unfinished work of life, and so we have beliefs about that. And our emotions follow the beliefs. Emotions are the initial response to our need for or our experience of safety and security. If you need safety and security, if you don't feel valued, don't feel you have control, don't feel you have resources, you get an emotional response to that. Anxiety, depression, irritability, anger, worry, concern. If you are experiencing the safety, security, you get another emotional response to that. You get peace, you get joy. Behaviors follow from our emotions. Emotion means before emotion or to cause emotion. So behaviors follow from our emotions. Personalities, don't need to mention this, but I will. Could be of interest. Personalities actually could be described as one's pursuit of what he or she equates with safety, security, and value, control, and power. So managing our emotions is managing life. You have to manage life to manage your emotions. Mm-hmm. Managing life means managing your inbox, all of the unfinished work. So if you want to manage your emotions, you have to take care of the inbox. This is actually, I think, the working out of your salvation, Philippians 2:12. Mm-hmm. I mean, managing those emotions, taking thoughts captive, managing your inbox, managing your life. This is all part of working out your salvation.
Yeah, this part obviously ties in more with the Christian motivation for life
and
sanctification, which is learning to be more like Jesus throughout your whole life.
Right.
I mean, you start off born again, but you got a long ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God saves you, but he's not finished with you yet.
Right. Yeah, he's not finished.
And you got to go through that
right
up till the day you die.
Yeah. The scripture, in the world, you'll have tribulation. That's kind of what we're talking about here, the inbox. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's kind of a little bit of a paradox there, isn't there? But I take that to mean that in the world, when we're in the world, God is using these kinds of things to perfect us. So the working out of our salvation has to do with encountering these things where we really need God and we need to rely on him. And we need to be good stewards and wise.
Some people seem to have it harder, though, than others. Mm-hmm. Some people seem to have some really tough breaks in life.
Yeah.
And these are when they get into these deeper philosophical questions. Lord, why did you allow that to happen to me or to my friend? You know, cancer or some terrible health issue.
That's right.
So how do you manage that kind of inbox stuff?
Well, those are the kinds of people I talk to a lot because so many people coming for counseling, we feel like we're uniquely tested, we're uniquely tried. But, I tell people and I and I've learned this from experience, and I continue to learn it, that, you know, my life isn't smooth. Things happen in the life of my wife and I that, you know, a storm comes and we go sideways. The thing is that God requires total and complete reliance, and he will continue to work with us until we completely rely on him. And so we'll see these things increasing, I think, as time goes on, to where it becomes clear to us how critical and important it is that we rely wholly and completely on Christ, and that he'll show up when we're at the end of ourselves sometimes. But So what does this look like? What does the process actually look like? How do I manage my inbox? Okay, in practical terms, it's not easy, but it's pretty simple. First thing you do is you identify the terms or the items and the issues in your inbox. You follow the pain. You're looking for what is the real need? Where is the fear? Where is the concern? Where is the insecurity? Where do I feel the lack of value, control, and power? This is a little, following the pain is a little bit of an abstract concept, but I explain it this way. If I gave you the assignment of coming up with, tell me the most terrifying circumstances you could ever find yourself in. So you'd think for a minute and you say, oh, this would probably be it. But as you thought about it, most likely you would come up with something else and you'd say, oh, I can think of something that would be even more terrifying. And if you thought about it enough, you might come up with yet a third thing, maybe even a fourth thing that would be even more terrifying. What you're doing is you're holding that feel of terror and you're following it to what triggers it more. And that's what I'm talking about. You feel the anxiety in your life and you start focusing on what in my life is causing me anxiety, this anxiety. As you focus on it, sometimes you'll realize, oh, there's something even more immediate than that painting the house. There's something even more immediate than tuning that car. And so you go after that. The intensity of the anxiety increases until you finally reach something you'd say, that's actually what's underlying all of this. The shortcut will be that it will have something to do with confidence, self-esteem, being valued, having control, having power, because ultimately these emotions are spiritual problems, and ultimately the answer is going to be something that's very soulish and spiritual.
So as a counselor person, then you get people to volunteer this information, or I get this vision of you as kind of like a doctor. Is this hurt? And you're like squeezing or you're like poking and prodding and then you find, oh boy, that one really hurt. Is that kind of what you're assisting people with?
They typically do that on their own, but my role seems to be just introducing them to the concept of it a lot of times, which is really great when they'll be listening to this and they'll say, I can come up with some things right now. And so they start talking about some things. And then we try to connect those things. Like somebody will say, you know, I have shame because of my job, or I have shame because of my the way I grew up. Right. And so we try to connect that with value, control, and power. And after we've identified those things, and I tell people, you know, it doesn't do much good, you know, again, visualizing the inbox, and you say there are 300 pages stacked in the inbox. It doesn't do much good to come up with 300 categories of thing, because now you're right back in the inbox.
Right.
Basically, you should be able to maybe organize the inbox with maybe 4 to 6 major. You know, there might be a file for just like a to-do list, things that the more obvious. But some of the less obvious things, there might be categories in there, maybe as many as a half a dozen, but probably not more. It could be family, could be faith, could be vocation. Maybe some of these things are more philosophical, but deeper things that are more tied to your things like self-esteem and shame and those kinds of things. So once we've identified them, then it's then we address. What action? What's the best action? Remember, I talked about behaviors follow from emotions, and emotions follow from beliefs. And we have beliefs that probably we're not aware of, and maybe they're incorrect beliefs. Say, for example, an incorrect belief might be that, you know, I have a value control and resource or power issues, and so I need to buy a bigger house because a bigger house will make me feel valuable. And so I would look at that and say, well, that could be a false belief, because to believe that the size of your house makes you a better person, you might believe that, and it might drive an emotion when you see someone else with a nicer house. But the belief is erroneous. It isn't true that the bigger house makes you a better person. So sometimes our emotions and our beliefs or our behaviors are based on beliefs that aren't true. So what is the best way to address this? Both the obvious thing and the not so obvious thing. So that's what we're and then I help people with that. What is the best way to address this? And obviously, the obvious things, to be redundant, would be to make out some kind of a list and then prioritize those. What is the most immediate need right now? Some of the deeper ones, though, take some more time in discussing. Well, you know, what do you do about that? And sometimes we find that, you know, the most powerful thing, and the thing God wants us to be very skilled at, and the thing we our thing we go to first will be prayer. And there will be a lot of things in your inbox from the past that you'll realize the only thing I can do about that is pray about it. Pray for that other person that was involved. Pray for understanding regarding that, and just put that in the Lord's hands as I pray. And so managing the inbox, we close with this, managing the inbox is fundamental to reducing your anxiety. If you have anxiety, there's stuff in the inbox that hasn't been dealt with. It's fundamental, managing an inbox, to reducing the anxiety. Also, it's fundamental to personal growth, and it's certainly fundamental to healthy relationships, which I deal a lot with.
Okay, if you enjoy Daniel Pryor's approach to managing the inbox and maybe some of his other approaches in counseling, and you need help, or maybe you know somebody who's struggling, and you think Daniel could help them, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, offices Edmonds, Kirkland, also doing lots of Zoom and Skype for people who live in the further out areas and just don't want to fight the traffic.
Okay. Well, great. That's one positive thing, I think, that came from the pandemic is people have figured out they don't always have to travel. They can do it from home and still get some help. Okay. Always great stuff. Sound Mind Broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.